Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I always love when I read certain things. This was put out by statecollege.com. It says Penn State has lost 43 games over the past seven seasons by six or fewer points. My first thought was, yeah, I know I lived all of them. It's one thing to look it up. It's another thing to live it. I could sit there and go through and go, oh, yeah. It's one thing to look it up. It's another thing to live it. Says Michael Shrewsbury's done a lot of good in his first year, but finding those 6 points is still the biggest challenge. Well, they won last night by three, so they are now 5-7 this year in games decided by 5 points or less. Every time I see something where somebody will come up with a stat and I'm going, you know, involving Penn State, I always sit back and say to myself, yeah, and I was there. I'm well aware. I did 43 of those post-game shows over the last 6 years. Like, all right, you know, like, or was it 7 years? It must be seven. It's got to be seven. I think it was like 60 years or something like that. 43 games past 7 years. Well, in the last 7 years, I did those 43 post-game shows. Okay, coach, so. All right. Iowa is in charge here, by the way. 75-63, up a dozen with, let's see, it's got to be winding down here. 3.5 to play over Rutgers. So it's been an relatively even second half, but again, Iowa built a 9-point lead at halftime. Indiana beat Illinois earlier today. Texas A&M beat Auburn. All right, let's get today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And that pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear you in Mifflinburg all together now, indeed. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. It's going to snow tomorrow, so stock up tonight. Just get in the car, put the show on 1070. You know, listen to Jeff Byers talk for a while. King will be on. You can stock up for the weekend. Perfect. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, the mobile Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And, great to have you with us today. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
From Learfield, upset alert, Penn State, Ohio State.
Well, that's the theme I was going for, but not the right one.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you're just as bad as James Harden was last night.
You've been on a roll with this segment the last couple days.
Because the problem is we have so many things saved in this system, or I'll save it as one thing, and then something, and it's another thing, but I don't realize that until, you know, right now, so...
Whoops. Okay, well, let's, how about we do it later after Jeff, and, okay, well, we'll go from there. Let's bring in Jeff Byers now, joining us to talk about the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Going to have Jeff back, by the way, on Wednesday as well, so this will be the first of two with Jeff. JB, great to have you with us.
Always nice to be with you, Steve, and definitely looking forward to next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with the Drew Hildebrand situation. Cale Sanderson will not he'll make a comment when he feels it's necessary to make a comment. Hildebrand seated 16th, so if he wins in his opener against the wrestler from Lehigh, he will then get Nick Soriano from Michigan, the number one seed right out of the gate. What was your thought, A, on the seeding, and also what Cale said about it?
Yeah, it is a little perplexing to me, Steve, how they're handling the seeding. And I just think you look at Drew Hildebrand and Brady Berge as examples of how inconsistent they can be, because I think if you're looking at past success, right, Drew Hildebrand should be seated higher. If you're saying the conference tournament isn't that important, overall in the seeding, then Drew Hildebrand should be seeded higher. If you're saying the conference tournament and the finish there is what's most important, then Brady Berge can't be a 16 seed. He finished third at the Big Ten tournament. So there's an inconsistency there, and it seems like Penn State, again, from the Penn State perspective, it feels like the Lions got the short end of the stick on both ends here with the Hildebrand Berge situation. And yeah, I think Drew, when you look at what he's achieved previously, I mean, he obviously had a poor weekend for whatever reason. He had a poor weekend at the Big Ten tournament, but I think you look at the consistency throughout the season, the only loss during the course of the season was by a riding time point to Soriano, beat everybody else he faced. It is a little perplexing to me in terms of, again, if the tournament is important or isn't important, fine, but make it consistent with, and it's not just Penn State. I mean, there's just other head scratchers here when you look at the seedings from one weight class to another. It seems like they're seeding more heavily on some things at some weight classes and differently at other weight classes, and I think that's the frustration. Again, not just for Cale Sanderson. I think it's the frustration for coaches in general in trying to figure out how this thing is managed, and that it I think also factors in with some of the medical forfeits that you're seeing throughout the postseason tournaments, where in some cases these kids don't seem to be getting penalized at all for the lower finish because it was medical forfeits, and then in other cases you're seeing guys that seem to be getting penalized for taking an early exit.
Well, this always comes back to what I'm talking about. I feel like in this era of analytics, we're losing people that have a feel for their respective sport. And I think that's where we're getting into trouble here. And I think I'm sensing in some ways, just a sense on my part, that there are people that are concerned about, that the people who are making decisions on seedings don't have the right feel for it. How about that?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Steve. It comes down, very simply. Do you actually think Drew Hildebrand isn't one of the best 12 wrestlers throughout the course of this season or in the country going into the postseason tournament? And I don't think there's anybody out there who doesn't think Drew Hildebrand. Now, he may not finish in the top 12, but there's nobody out there that doesn't think Drew Hildebrand is one of the top 12 wrestlers in the country. And I think I would argue the same thing with Brady Berge. I really thought when we were looking at it coming out of the Big Ten tournament, I really thought the debate on Hildebrand and Berge was kind of where in that 9-12 range they would end up. And to see both of them get 16, which is just not a spot you want to be, where obviously you're opposite the number one seed then in the second round, almost out of the gate. It's just a tough situation. But again, it's what Penn State's been dealt. And Penn State is not unique in this. Again, there's a lot of other head-scratchers, I think, when it comes to the way this year's tournament is being seeded.
Four champions at the Big Ten. If you were to tell me going in that there'd be four champions, my assumption would be, well, yeah, okay, Aaron Brooks is one of them. Who are the other three? When you look back at his performance in the championship, which, let's face it, I can stay right. He'll avenge it in Detroit. But what wasn't quite there this time, and also credit to what was there for the other guy.
Yeah, I think two things, Steve. One is I think you hit the nail on the head. Hats off to Miles Amin. I mean, this is an elite wrestler, right? You're talking about an Olympic bronze medalist. His only loss in the Olympic tournament was to some guy named David Taylor. So he's not a bad competitor. and he's been around a little while. He's got 3 years of collegiate experience over Aaron Brooks. So these are two really elite wrestlers. And I do think Miles Amin had a specific strategy and executed it very well this go-around with Brooks. I also did think Aaron Brooks, Steve, just kind of allowed Amin and the way it was being officiated to take him out of his game. And that's very atypical for Aaron. We've seen him make adjustments to tough calls and tough opponents, guys that have a specific strategy, and usually we see him by the third period kind of solve whatever it is that's being thrown his way and figure it out and prevail. And I thought, especially in the overtime period, Steve, he is usually really good, Aaron is, at just letting the match develop, like not forcing stuff. And it seemed to me that he almost got a little panicky and tried to force some things that weren't there out of the gate, and that's just, again, not something we're used to seeing. So I'll chalk it up to just a bit of an off day, and I was fortunate enough to ride back in the van with Aaron and Greg Kirkley coming back to the hotel before we headed out from Nebraska. And I can tell you Aaron's head is in a very good place. He is very much looking forward to having the opportunity to wrestle Amin again and just to wrestle again. And I think the NCAA tournament cannot get here soon enough for Aaron Brooks.
So everyone learns something out of every experience, pro and con. There's probably some things he learned that happened to be good out of that match. What do you think he learned that he can apply as he now goes through step by step in Detroit?
Yeah, I think that the two biggest things, Steve, is just, stay on your game. I think he allowed himself to get taken out of his game a little bit. Both the way the bout was being officiated and by Amin and what he was trying to do. And if Aaron just stays with what he knows how to do well, he's going to be just fine. And I think he knows that, kind of talking some things through on the way back. I don't think he needs the coaches or anybody to tell him what adjustments need to be made. I think he already knows what he's going to do a little differently. But I think the other thing is just forcing the pressure again a little more. I think he gave Amin a little bit more of a chance to get some rest opportunities in that third period, and I think it allowed Amin to kind of get that explosion for the couple of takedowns that he needed. I think if Brooks can just keep the pressure on him from the start and keep it on in the early going of that third period, that Brooks will be the guy that is able to get those late takedowns if needed.
All right, so let's get to another part too. The scoring of it. If you wrestle in an opening round and versus somebody gets a bye and you win, guy that wrestled gets a point or a part of a point. Okay, so in some ways, you get a bonus because you don't have to wrestle. That's one less. It's like playing on Wednesday night in the Big Ten tournament. But at the same time, the team gets penalized partially because you don't get the point for automatically moving through. Is this something they need to consider and think about? Is that something they need to think about and consider, especially when you have team races that are so tight?
Yeah, I think it is, Steve. And what I would like to see, and I understand the thinking of, let's reward these top two seeds at each weight class with the bye. But the issue is exactly that. You had a Penn State team that had six kids with first-round byes, all of whom are capable, no guarantees obviously, but capable of getting bonus points, and that's what you're missing out on when you're not able to compete in that opening round. And it's why I think a team like Penn State can be more dangerous at the NCAA tournament is, again, those top-end guys – instead of getting the first round buys, they have first round opportunities to not just advance, but again, pick up those bonus points. And I think, you know, Penn State will be looking at all of those kids that ended up in the top three at the Big Tens to get bonus points in those first couple of rounds at the NCAA tournament. And, you know, there was a long period of time when you had more pigtail bouts in some of the weight classes where it was at the NCAA tournament, where it was just a random draw. And, you know, you could have a one seed have a first round matchup or eight seed. I mean, it was just a random draw. And I think, I really think that that's what they should do at the Big Ten tournament with those buys. It's just make it random and, you know, do the computer generated random selections so that you at least have the opportunity to have some of those guys be able to pick up some bonus points for you in that first round at the Big Ten.
Nick Lee continues to be a rock. Carter Storace, a rock. Roman Bravo Young. Oh, yeah, the Big Ten is just another step, whatever, and then waltzes through. You know, it's amazing how that works. I mean, you have four champions out of the thing. All right, so besides Aaron, who's to me is a co-favorite, that's just my assessment.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of guys that you think, based on seeding, based on matchup, based on bracket, that might be able to pick up some key points, even though they might not be a champion in the event.
Yeah, I think the, you know, Brady Berge is the guy I'm kind of looking at as almost the bellwether wrestler here for Penn State in terms of the national championship here, because Brady's a guy that I think, you know, could go even 0-2 at the national tournament, but I think is certainly capable of, you know, getting into the top four or five when it's all said and done as well. And I think, you know, he's a guy, you know, he got his first collegiate pin in the Big Ten tournament, so I'm not sure that we're necessarily looking for pins from him. But I do, with the way he's moving right now, I do think he can get some significant bonus points in those early rounds. And listen, I think Bo Bartlett, with his style, again, he's capable of getting some bonus points in those early rounds. And Drew Hildebrandt, Steve, to me, is kind of the biggest question mark right now for me in terms of what to expect. You know, I'm not sure where his confidence is right at the moment coming out of the Big Ten tournament. I know where it should be, but I'm not sure where it is. And that's just such a deep weight class. And you know, there's not a lot of difference, even with Nick Soriano at the top, going all the way down to, well, now probably the 15, 16 seeds. There's just not a lot of separation, I think, among those guys. And so, you know, it's going to come down to who's on and who can make a move or two. Obviously, Drew Hildebrandt is capable of being a top three or four guy at the national tournament. I think they need him on the podium here to feel comfortable with the national championship prospects.
Yeah, and that'll be big because you got to find, I mean, we've talked about this how many times, Jeff. I need at this level to find bonus points. When you look at Iowa and Michigan, do they have guys that, in your opinion, well, first of all, the health of the Iowa guys to begin with. Let's start with that. What's the health of the Iowa guys? And then the next part is, do they have guys that you think, which of the three has the capability of bonus points of the three? If you look at Penn State, Iowa, Michigan, which one does?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I think Penn State is the team that you're expecting to get the most bonus points at the national tournament. I think Michigan would be the next in line just because of how veteran their team is. And a guy like Logan Massa, who's capable of the big throws, obviously Mason Paris is a bonus point machine, with the exception of when he faces Gable Stevenson. But I mean, well, and now Greg Kirkleaf this year. But I mean, he has been dominating everybody else that he faces in the weight class. And listen, I think up and down that lineup, Michigan has guys that are capable of getting bonus points. You know, a lot of the Iowa guys, even when they're healthy and on, aren't huge bonus point guys. Now, guys like Jaden Ironman and Michael Kemmer, when healthy, are. I think that the health there is a real concern, Steve. I'm just not sure where Ironman is right now with what apparently is his knee that's bothering him. And obviously Michael Kemmerer's shoulder, I don't know how well that's going to hold up. And it's just such a loaded weight class at 74 that, I think he's going to have a tough time even finishing in the top three here at the national tournament.
One final question, because I know we're going to get you back on Wednesday. Could this be as competitive an NCAA championship because of the added years that people have because of COVID, Olympic, passes from years gone by because of the age of the wrestlers?
Yeah, I really think that is the case, Steve. When you look at the individual weight classes, to me, I think the team race, my expectation going in is just it's going to come down to Penn State and Michigan, and I think Penn State's in a pretty good position going into the national tournament. But from an individual weight class standpoint, Steve, we have some weight classes that are just absolutely loaded. I mean, you look at 184, 133, the depth there. I mean, I know Dayton Fitz and Roman Bravo Young have kind of separated from the field there, and then Austin DeSanto, I think, is kind of in a class by himself at the three spot. But man, the overall caliber of talent up and down the lineup and throughout the weight classes, I do think, because of all the things you just mentioned, I think it is as strong and as deep a field overall for the NCAA tournament as we've ever seen.
Jeff, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Words I really never thought I'd say to you. Enjoy Detroit.
I never thought I'd have that said to me either.
Words that just don't go together. All right.
No, that's for sure.
Jeff, thanks. I appreciate you very much, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. And have some fun tonight. Looking forward to that matchup with Purdue.
Jeff Byers. We'll have him back on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up now, as a matter of fact, for the simple reason that, it's going to snow tomorrow, so you might as well be stocked up now. So just, put the car radio on 1070. We'll keep you company as you go over. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, the mobile Sunbury Motors Studio here in Indianapolis. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the King.
King.
Hi, guys. Well, sold the house.
Yay.
There you go. All
right. Bingo!
Get this. I go there Monday. They're gonna, remember I told you they're taking pictures Monday. So I told the guy it was ready. You can take pictures, but I'm not done yet. I still got stuff I got to do. You know, like the door to the little TV room that used to be our bedroom, that was gone. Yep. So I had to get another door and cut it and fit it and all that. And so I went there Monday night. They took pictures at 11 o'clock. I'm there, and I was running late, so I picked up my phone, and I've got all these things because I was registered with the real estate company, all the showings, and they're showing the house in like 15 minutes. I'm like, holy crap, I'm not ready. I was almost had a meltdown right there. I said, I didn't put the screens back on the door, nothing. I'm telling you, from Monday night until Wednesday at noontime, they showed the house 52 times.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, basically, it was couples, so over 100 people. I told the guy, you need a food truck in the friggin' driveway. So, then we got 9 offers that afternoon, and with 5 more people who were going to place an offer. So the real estate agent took it off the market. He said, we can't handle anymore here right now. And so they were all $25,000 above what we were asking. I'm like, are you kidding? We're sitting there with our jaws hanging down. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. We didn't even push anything. I said, the house isn't done yet. There's no door on the bedroom. They didn't care. Then one guy says, offered what we asked and said that he would pay $3,000 over the highest bid up to $340,000. I started laughing. I said, get out of town. He said, no, I'm serious. I said, no, but it was an FHA loan. So we got somebody who gave us a good offer with and said no inspection. That's cool.
Wow.
No inspection. They wanted it bad, and I had to let them know by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I called the wife, and we pulled the trigger. So they're legit. They've got the money, but they weren't going to mess around and wait around and get into a bidding war. So I was like, okay. So we'll see if it's all up and up. But they made an offer, and we accepted. So I got pictures. I'll send it to you guys so you can see the house. It doesn't look like anything we grew up in, put it that way. It's a lot different. But it's all white. Every room is white.
That's good.
Yeah. All the rooms are white. I put new railings in the basement. Redid a lot of the basement. Recarpeted the basement. There's no bling, It's just a plain house. And I knew that it would go to somebody who lived in an apartment. Because people who live in an apartment, it's a whole different world. You pull into a house and you now have a driveway, a garage. You can do your laundry in the house. They're not concerned that the kitchen doesn't have granite counters. They care less about that crap. And that's who bought the house. The guy's an army vet. So there you go. I think we got a good buyer for the house.
Great.
A done deal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of work, but it's done. I'm going to finish everything this weekend. I'm not going to leave it. I could leave it the way it is. They're not even checking for termites. Mice, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bought as is. They waived everything. I signed the contract. So
That's terrific.
Is worth in itself a lot of money. The FHA loans, it's a federal loan, and the federal government demands a full inspection. I'd be putting a new roof on the house. I'd be doing all kinds of crap that would cost thousands. We've already dumped thousands of dollars into it. So,
we didn't. It had nothing to do with termites, but we had the corner office of the station fumigated.
Oh, my almighty!
We had the shop here fumigated. There were mice everywhere. Helmar Wolf, the owner of the building, yeah, the secretaries were freaking out. I was feeding the mice. I didn't dial them out.
We had it fumigated for a different reason. All right, so.
So Penn State had a big win last night, huh?
Yeah, beat Ohio State, beat Minnesota the night before, so got Purdue tonight at 9.
Does that set you up for an NIT bid?
No, still two games under 500, still 14-16.
What if you win the tournament?
Yeah. Go to the NCAAs automatically.
Yeah, you got a shot. Why not? I'm playing well.
They won back-to-back games. I was walking back last night, and I said to somebody, they said, what do you think? I said, this is tremendous. I said, but when you start out now, the bracket broke the way I thought it might for Penn State. They're on the better side of the bracket, which really helps a lot. The problem is when you play in the opening round and you win two, okay? If you play and get the bye to Thursday, you win two games. Guess where you are? You're in the semifinals. If you win two games and you play in the opening night, you're only 40% through.
Right.
So it's more work.
Fatigue starts setting in. I tell you, I'm a casual basketball fan, and obviously when the March Madness, I'm like everybody, I'm watching all of it. What I noticed this morning while I was riding my little exercise bike, all the scores around the country, how close the games are. There's no blowouts. They're all close games, and it doesn't matter who the top seed is. The, three-point game. Providence just squeaked by. Villanova squeaked. Villanova was losing by 17 and won the game by, I think, 2, But they're all competitive every game.
Well,
it's a good thing.
Here's the reason why. Every college sport this year is really competitive across the board for the simple reason that everybody's older. What happened because of COVID is that a lot of players got bonus years.
Yep.
And because they got a bonus year because of COVID, almost every team in the country is older this year. It's not the kiddie core anymore, and I think it's making a big difference in the quality of play.
Oh, the quality's incredible. And that's true. The quarterback's coming back, right? For what, a sixth year?
Yeah.
For the football team?
Yep, Sean Clifford. So and that'll help out the two kids. They got two kids that they recruited in to go with a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
And I think it helps them in terms of how do you go about your business at this level. But we'll talk more about that when that time comes up. We're going to take a break. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here in Indianapolis on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, March Madness is coming up starting next week in Dayton. Conference tournament time this week. Matt's still bitter over Seth Curry dropping 24 on his former team last night. As I mentioned, I thought he was the key to the trade.
Yeah, that hurt.
But that was what hurt. You gave him up. What did I tell you when they traded him? Everything's Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons. Who did I say was watch out for which guy?
Oh, yeah, Seth Curry. I know. Yeah, I know what they were giving up.
Right,
and it stunk last night.
Are there two Seth Currys?
There's Steph Curry.
This is his brother.
This is his brother, Seth.
It's his brother?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's his brother. So,
they're
it's really cool.
Steph.
Steph and Seth.
George
what's
Foreman
really cool.
With all his kids named George.
Huh? Right. Well, you gotta love the Philadelphia fans. They booed vociferously Ben Simmons when he walked in, and at the end of the game, they were booing their own team. It really is just a fun atmosphere to be in.
And it's good for the sport. It really is. I was watching those three guys on ESPN in the morning, and they were so happy. The fighting and the players jawing at each other, and pretty good.
Well, the Sixers-Nets rivalry had already been heating up from past playoff series, but now it's taking another notch. But
been a while since the East had a rivalry.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, here we go. We got some rivalries brewing here with championship week continuing. Going to start in the Big East. Creighton, Providence, Steve.
I'll go with Providence. They're 11-2 in games decided by 5 points or less.
I agree. I got Providence, too. King?
I got Creighton. They're playing really good. Ooh. Providence is not playing its best ball of the year right now. Creighton
and that's
is
true.
Very good. Creighton beat UConn
last
week.
Somehow they these things out. Yeah.
And that is a quarterfinal, I believe, for the Big East. Now we go to the Big Ten, preceding Penn State and Purdue, Michigan State and Wisconsin. King?
I'm going to take Michigan State only because they are great in tournaments, but I don't know if they have the team this year to do it, but what the heck. I love the coach. So, Michigan State.
Somehow, Wisconsin keeps winning. I know you said the same thing, Steve, but so I'm going to stick with the Badgers this time, and I'm sure that means they're going to lose tonight. But I'm picking the Badgers.
Well, the biggest issue I have with Michigan State is not the talent, and it's not the coaching. But, man, they turn the ball over. I mean, at times it's what they do best. Like, here, you take it. I don't want any more. You take it. Like, really? But last night they're playing Maryland. They're up 20. And they almost gave the game away. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to pick Michigan State. Because, no offense, Wisconsin baffles me. They play five guys. They have no bench. They have no bench.
Where have we seen that before? Okay.
Yeah, by the way, well, they got a little more talent. By the way, true. Four of the five starters for Wisconsin are from Minnesota. That's one of the problems Minnesota's having.
There you go. By the way, Creighton Providence is a semifinal tonight for the Big East, by the way. Next we have...
Yeah, the championship game's tomorrow,
right? Yes, so the other semifinal in the Big 12 now, TCU in Kansas. Steve?
I'll go with Kansas. I know TCU played them tough there, but this is Kansas time.
Yeah, I got the Jayhawks in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty handedly. King?
TCU. They won big last night.
All right. Next one.
You'd like Jamie. He's a good guy, so Jamie Dixon.
Semifinal for the ACC, Miami, Duke. King?
Duke.
Yeah.
Steve?
Man, I'll tell you, Penn State played Miami back in December, and I didn't like Miami at all. And now look at them. Dick and I looked at each other like, this team isn't any good. I would have picked Duke, but I give Miami credit. Jim's a good coach. Jim Larrañaga is a really good coach.
Duke makes me a little nervous, but I'm taking Duke.
You both took Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now we go to back to the other Big East semifinal, UConn and Nova. King, I know who you're picking.
I love my Huskies in this. Villanova's not playing very well. You know, and UConn beat them by a point a couple weeks ago. I'll take UConn.
I'm sticking with Nova here and Jay Ryan and the boys. I think Gillespie makes a play late. Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with Colin Gillespie here. I mean, yeah, Jay's a really good coach, but it's amazing you're a really good coach with good players. It really helps. I'll go with Villanova.
True dat. Now we go to the ACC semifinal, the other one, Virginia Tech in North Carolina. Steve.
Jeez, neither one of them really is that good. No, I'm serious.
No, you're right.
North Carolina is really not that great. I mean, North Carolina is good, but, like, they're, like, in the line between good and very good. I don't like Virginia Tech at all, even though they're really well coached. I will take North Carolina.
Vatek got some momentum from the game winner they had in overtime. I think they ride that momentum and get another upset dub, get to the championship game. That's my one upset of this week. King.
Well done.
I got the Tar Heels. I think they're playing really well. They took Duke out last week in a big game. So that was a big win for North Carolina.
Yeah, it was. It was only their second quad one win of the season. They have as many quad one wins as Penn State does.
And that's a tough spot. They were in a tough spot. You know, that was Krzyzewski's big night.
And now we finish with the Pac-12 semifinals. USC, UCLA, King.
I have no idea. any meeting, mighty mo, pick a California team by the toe. If the hollers let them go, out goes Y-O-U. UCLA.
Steve, who you got?
I don't know who to pick. The game's in Vegas, I think. I'm going to go USC.
I've seen USC a little bit this year. I've kind of liked how they've been playing overall, so I'm going to go with the Trojans here. And then the other one, Colorado and Arizona. Steve.
Arizona. I think Arizona has all the makings to get to New Orleans.
I like the Wildcats a lot, too. I'm taking them big tonight.
Yeah, I think they've got a Final Four look to them.
King?
My secretary right now is in Colorado visiting her beautiful daughter.
Wonderful.
So I'll take Colorado just because she's there.
All right.
Why not? I mean, all these games are close. Anyone can win these games. Doesn't matter who's number one. So I don't know anything about either team except Arizona's been ranked up high all year, but that's a good reason to pick. She's there.
Yeah, they brought in Tommy Lloyd, and they're running the Gonzaga offense, and he's running the Gonzaga offense with better athletes, and it shows.
Smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
It is very dumb. And he's done a good job. He's recruited all over the place. I still go back to, again, the wise choice we made to fumigate the corner office.
F-O-L-E-D, that spells founder!
Believe me, kid. You know how many times we've said that? Founder. All right, congrats on the house. Way to go.
Good job. Good work, King.
Yep, you'll be.
Matt, congrats
on the bigger and better things.
Matt, congrats on the Sixers. Great trade.
Thank you. Ray Bucknell, baby.
Go Broncos.
Everybody's a Bronco fan now. They got Russell Wilson.
Right? Russell Wilson.
They can have him.
The big offseason signing for the Eagles was a 90-year-old center.
They'll bring Carson Wentz back.
That 90-year-old center can still move.
Did you see the last couple of games when he sat out?
He can still move. We'll be all right.
I like the Eagles.
Hey, we got to do our brackets next week. We'll pick our final four along with whatever games are coming up next Friday.
Round one. I love the brackets. That's fun time. So.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.